Given the reality of prophecy, can we say other than that we are infinite beings and that the ancestors who hearkened to spirit are living? How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, material constraints, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? And if we see prophecy proved, isn't that sufficient to see and keep to truth? Or if we experience soul separation and our grasp of the truth allows us to frame what happened accurately, see it in the context of bringing in global freedom, by which I mean that we've read and discussed Paul and Prince, believe that both have more than established their credibility, have been but waiting for us for this moment, for their full gifts to us to be appreciated. When Paul tells us the story, Abraham had two sons, one born of a slave, the other of a free woman, explaining that the story is an allegory and that the two women symbolize the two covenants, that of Moses and of Jesus, and asks us, in essence, which should bear fruit. His reply is that nothing should proceed in our hearts from that which is born of slavery, for to allow this sacrifices the infinite, eternal life. Why would anyone do that who sees it? Quoting Paul from Galatians 4, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many, many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so is it now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be the heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Paul is battling the lure of the state. What is that allure? He wonders. It is difficult to understand. What holds us back from being powerful? Alice Miller explains it. The will or the heart gets broken in an infant, and the child of whatever age can then be converted into fodder for fascists. Quoting Alice from our December 13, 2015 show, the audio file Adaptation to Soul Loss. Quoting Alice Miller, this perfect adaptation to society's norms, in other words, to what is called healthy normality, and I would say that Paul might call this being under the law, carries with it the danger that such a person can be used for practically any purpose. I comment, slaves can be used for any purpose. Continuing, it is not a loss of autonomy that occurs here, because this autonomy never existed, but a switching of values, which in themselves are of no importance anyway for the person in question, as long as his whole value system is dominated by the principle of obedience. He's never gone beyond the state of idealizing his parents with their demands for unquestioning obedience. This idealization can easily be transferred to a Führer or to an ideology. Where are the standards supposed to come from if someone has always been told what's right and what's wrong? And if he's never had an opportunity to become familiar with his own feelings? And if, beyond that, attempts at criticism were unacceptable to the parents and thus were too threatening for the child? If an adult has not developed a mind of his own, then he will find himself at the mercy of the authorities, for better or worse, just as an infant finds itself at the mercy of its parents. Saying no to those more powerful will always seem too threatening to him. And I mentioned that you can read more of Alice Miller. This is from her book, For Your Own Good, from 1980, from a PDF you can download free on the NAACP's website called The Violence of Class. How does one fall out of the way? How be it that once free, you again seek bondage? How does that happen? Alice's expansion of her point provides a helpful illustration. Quoting Alice Miller, witnesses of sudden political upheavals report again and again with what astonishing facility many people are able to adapt to a new situation. Overnight, they can advocate views totally different from those they held the day before, without noticing the contradiction. With a change in the power structure, yesterday has completely disappeared for them. Unquote. Power knows this and trains its infiltrator agents to be forceful and commanding, as the allegiance of children with no souls, no selves, is easily transferred to those who appear more powerful than they. But the good news is, as Prince says, if you can trust your body enough to follow your questions, seek the truth, and ask for guidance, the living ancestors will help you.